question is, Katie, when you do Facebook campaigns, what's your approach? I would think Facebook needs to be approached in quite a different way to how you might construct an AdWords campaign.
Right. So it is different, but it's actually very similar if you're looking at it from a structure perspective. So the same way that with Google search, we're grouping keywords, and then with our ad groups, we're making them really small, tightly focused ad groups. And in any one account, I might have 100 ad groups because we want to break everything down into as specific as possible with still having enough volume, of course. So you take the same structured approach over to Facebook, only the targeting is totally different. And so instead of grouping people and testing them by these small groups of keywords, we're breaking people up by demographic. And so Facebook is pretty prolific. It's amazing how much detail we can get now. And sometimes it's a little bit counterintuitive. I'll give you an example. So for a shoe company, there was this certain line of shoes that we were selling, or that the client was selling. And so in advertising to them, it's intuitive. So you'll start with things like people that like fashion, and then layer that with people who've purchased online in the past whatever days, or people who shop at the actual stores that sell the shoes, and so on. All the very intuitive things. And then we'll group it up. And from there, we might segment it down to, okay, they shop at Target, and they like fashion, and they're 25 years old. And then we'll test that against, they shop at Target, they like fashion, and they're 26 to 34, and so on. So we'll do different age groups because we want to see how all the different demographics perform against each other. But we don't want to go too small because then we're not going to have enough meaningful data to know anything. That's one way to group it. So you can cross-layer these demographics to make hyper-targeted audience. You can layer behavior plus their demographic plus their interests plus their associations. I'll just keep going until Facebook's like too small. Or if I run it and I'm getting hardly any people, then I'll back out a little bit. Anyway, there's also very counterintuitive ones that a lot of advertisers don't think of. So this would be akin to the long tail keywords that we go after in search. But one of the things we found for this one line of shoes was that people who liked Taylor Swift specifically and people who liked Florence and the Machine had really high conversion rates for these shoes. It's like, well, what does music have to do with shoes? Nothing on the surface, but if you can target people by their interests, even though it's not your that product or something directly related to that product, but you know that it segments them into this super defined group of people that are going to love your product, then that's what you go for.
So that's the targeting. What about the nature of the ad itself? My understanding of Facebook is you need to find some kind of indirect way of capturing their attention.
Yeah, so this is going to depend on whatever the audience itself is. I always go after hot buttons. Hot buttons are like little triggers that get people to click on the ad, click through the web page to the web page. And then, of course, we want to be looking at what they do once they get to the web page. And so I always break things up. I'm looking for what resonates with people and what has the most prevalence among those people. So I'll give you an example of what I mean by those two different things. I never go in depth this far. I have in my own spreadsheets, I calculate what I call a prevalence score, and I also calculate a resonance score, and those are just my own made-up terms. For example, Marriage Helper, since you know a little bit about them already. For Christian women in the household income brackets between $75,000 and $100,000 annual, they have hot buttons that are women. If your husband is addicted, here's how to talk to him. Another one could be, if you feel isolated in your marriage, here's what to do. Another one could be, if you feel controlled and berated by the man you married, here's what to do. So we have these pain points. So we always want to address some type of pain point or trigger that's going to get their attention. And then we can test those against each other.
So it sounds like what you're doing is you're providing a intelligence solution to a defined pain point that meets the demographic.
You can put it like that.
With the new client, they're some of their types of clients are people that are in distress, they need to sell their property quickly, or it's just a for sale by owner type of individual that feel that they don't want to have to pay a realtor for something that they should be able to do themselves. Those are the types of clients, and the sell is one of getting them to work with Simple House, because Simple House will provide a cash offer there and then, making the process of selling the house very simple and straightforward, as against the client worrying, are they going to be able to sell? How long is it going to take? And just go through a very complicated process to sell their property. So given that it's that type of market, would you be thinking in terms of providing them some kind of content that helps them understand how to do something, or would you take them straight to a conversion page? What would be your approach on that?
As you know, I am all about the survey funnel. Whatever the pain point is, if they're frustrated because they're stressed and let's say they've contacted a couple realtors and they're so confused and frustrated, and the ad references that, if they don't have a page that speaks directly to that, then we're going to need one, of course. And then from that page, we want to make it really simple on what to do next. And what we're going to want to do on that page is speak to that frustration and simplify the process. Get them to take a deep breath. If your client gets to your page and goes, I feel like in this case, that's probably what we'd be going for if a good client for them is someone that's stressed.
To make it work in Facebook, what does the ad need to look like in order to grab somebody's attention, given that they're not using Facebook to go buy something? You're interrupting them, right?
Mm-hmm. That's why the ads always want to speak to the pain point of the trigger, and you want to blend in. So here's an example for U.S. Apple, the game company. They have a new game in November, and it's an adult drinking game, basically. And the game comes with spill-proof cards. And so the actual ad copy that's doing best, it's a video. But this ad copy works on just static image ads as well. And it's in the person's newsfeed. And the ad copy says something along the lines of, the spill-proof cards in this deck means that we don't have to worry about that guy. Ha ha. Who's usually me? Ha ha. Sounds like one of their friends is posting about themselves, and you think, oh, that's not going to work in an ad, but it does. So it really depends on your market and how formal should the messaging be based on who we're targeting. And if we're targeting him in the news feed, we always want to be as authentic as possible to sound. We don't want to sound like we're trying to trick them that we're a company. But we also want to talk to them the way that we know they connect with. And if it's an adult drinking crowd, then I'm going to use text type speech.
Right. So do you have any idea how you go about identifying a demographic for a distressed homeowner?
I would start with a client. They should have a good understanding of their starting point. And if they say, oh, we don't know, then I would interview them. And so for a bigger company that has a customer service department, what I've done is I've called customer service and I interview one of their top reps. So like for Griswold Home Care, they had a customer service person who's been there forever and gets really good feedback from clients and stuff. So I called her. Okay, what are some of the people that you feel like you hear from? Is it men or women? You'd be like, oh, it's mostly women. I'm like, okay, are they more like in their 20s or 30s? And then she'll answer me that. And then I'll say, now, are they feeling stressed financially when they call? And she'll be like, yeah, well, some are, and blah, 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 and some aren't, and here's what they're feeling. I'm like, okay, so when they're feeling like pressure that they're spending time with their mom who's aging, and why can't they care for the mom themselves? And she's like, well, because then all their time spent together is now more like a burden. And like, okay, so is this person feeling kind of guilty maybe? So it's really just a conversation with the client where we're going to pull that out. If they really have no idea and they can't even answer those questions to start that conversation, then I would not want to work with them ever. That's not my job to know who to define their market. They should have an audience.
Right.
They might not be able to define them formally or have it written out in some business plan. That's fine. As long as they know who their audience is and they're providing value to that audience. And they might not know they know. That's why you got to, you know, the same way like you're interviewing people on content.
Yeah.
Like they don't know how much they know. For example, with a game company, we started with a certain demographic for this game, Tapple, which is a good, it was posed as like a family game, fun for the whole family. No, it was called Fast, their tagline was Fast Word Fun for Everyone. And then as I started out in the demographics, I narrowed in on moms because I started noticing, oh, women with kids outperform any other demographic. So when I start narrowing it down on women with kids and I'm doing different messaging on like whether it's fun, it's educational. And so you keep refining the messaging and testing different messaging against each other. So for example, in that one, after a few months, it came down to this phrase that was, kids have so much fun, they don't know how much they're learning. And then I could not beat that phrase for months after that. And I tried all different things. And another tagline that was really good in that audience was fast word fun for the whole family. And so they actually changed the tagline on that box because they realized that their audience was even more specific than they knew. They didn't realize that it was a lot, mostly moms who were buying it because it was helping their kids learn. And it's fun for them too. So the client often doesn't know how the specifics that we're going to get, but that's fine. We do need to have somewhere to start.
In a nutshell, the way you would define the difference between doing AdWords and doing Facebook advertising is the way you're targeting the demographics in a very, very tight way. Is that right? Or would you say it differently to that?
No, that's absolutely right. That's the main difference is the targeting. In both cases, we're constantly testing or optimizing. I recently stopped using the word testing because John, the president of USAopoly, was like, well, why are we still testing things? And I was like,
oh, right.
Okay, let's go back. So it's not that we're still testing. It's that we should be constantly optimizing because the market changes. So we never want to just, okay, this ad's getting this click-through rate. It's pretty good, so we'll just leave it. No, like we always want to have at least two ads to see which one is better. Or if we're still testing demographics and we have an ad that we know works pretty well, then we'll have the same ad, but then we test different demographics with that ad so that we can get good data about those demographics. And often, no, not often, always, we're going to get insights from that about their demographics that's more specific than they started out with. And that's part of the cool thing. That's why I love what I do, because you learn so much about people. Because you're constantly putting the stimulus in, and then you get a response. Response, and it's like immediate feedback.
So with AdWords, you're targeting keywords where the assumption is people are actively searching for something. With Facebook, you're showing up to a particular demographic. Doesn't that mean that the nature of what you're saying has to be very, very different?
But yes and no. People that are actively searching, it's like awesome because we're in the right place at the right time. And they're revealing to us with their search what they really want. So we always say like keywords are windows to our customer souls. And it is. Humans are always searching. Everybody's searching for something. And at any one moment, if we can give them what they're searching for, that's awesome. So people that are on Facebook, deep down, they're still searching for something, but they might not be actively searching for it, which is why we have to get so targeted with demographics. There's nobody on Facebook that, it's like, how do you target people who are struggling with affairs in their marriage on Facebook? You can't. Like, there's no interest category on, like, my husband's having an affair, I think.
Right.
But if someone's husband is having an affair, they are hurting the same way that someone who's actively searching.
Right. Now I understand. Now I understand the term you were using. What did you call it? Hot buttons? Which is you're finding that question that resonates with the individual that has that need.
The way that we pose the solution to that thing that they're searching for is different depending on the platform. Because on AdWords, we can very easily say, if your husband's having an affair, if you want a divorce, here's what to do next. If we just throw that out there on Facebook, they might be offended. Because they're like, what do you mean? They're not having problems in my marriage. This is like privacy violation, you know?
Right.
So we have to kind of approach it a little bit differently on Facebook. And that's why we have different, it's like a totally different ad format. You can have pictures, videos, you can have comments.
And what would be an example of how you would approach it? So you gave the example of what you would say if you need a divorce, here's what to do next. That's your AdWords approach, because you're able to be driven by the keyword. But on Facebook, you would not say that. Instead, you might say something like,
to the same person who's actively searching or not searching, when they're actively searching, we can answer their query with, when your husband has an affair, do this next. On Facebook, it would say, if there's been an affair in a marriage, it doesn't have to mean the end.
Right. Very good.
Here's why.
Very good. You nailed it, I think. Yeah, I've learned something there, just in terms of how to think about it, right? Good one. So do you think people that do AdWords necessarily are going to be good at Facebook? Or do you think sometimes it's better to have a separate specialist for Facebook because the thought process is sufficiently different or not? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, like, take me, for example. I can do both very well, but that's because I understand the difference. So I think it depends on the person. If you have someone who's approaching Facebook from the exact same way that they approach AdWords, it's not going to be effective the way it should be. Sound high and mighty, but I've been in this industry long enough to know that people say that they do both, but they don't really.
Right, that's my experience. I think there's
like, oh yeah, it's all PPC, it's all pay-per-click. Okay, right. So just because you pay for the ad the same way, then you approach it the same way?
So what do you charge for doing Facebook?
In the same pricing sheet that I sent you, but it's basically the same way that I charge for AdWords. It's 15% or the minimum.
Do you have any thoughts on what the cost per acquisition is within the Facebook environment? I mean, for a lead, are you able to break it down to that level where you can say, you know, you should be able to get a lead for X amount, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, you can track it, and so you can break it down, and then you should be constantly trying to lower that by doing multiple things, targeting more efficiently, messaging more efficiently, and having better landing pages that make it easy for them to take the next step. With Marriage Helper, when we first started, we didn't have that survey funnel. We just had like their basic landing pages. We were getting leads. I don't remember. I could go back and look, but you know, in some of the ad groups, it was like $75 per lead, that type of thing. And so we did a lot of work. And now in some of our little ad sets, which is basically the same thing as an ad group in AdWords.
Yeah.
In some of our ad sets, those little clusters of demographics, we're getting leads for like $2.50.
Yeah. Well, that's a huge, huge, ridiculously huge difference.
Yeah. I think the way you put it is the devil's in the details.
Right.
You can spend $2,000 on Facebook and get hardly anything. You could also spend $200 on Facebook and get a lot, if everything is very refined. So that's always the goal, is to get to that point. It takes money to get there because you have to test and get data and stuff. That's where you want to get.
Doesn't Facebook provide some kind of ad performance scoring or something where it tells you where you kind of fit in?
They have a relevance score. The relevance score is kind of similar to Google's quality score.
Right.
So basically, Facebook is telling you, hey, here's how relevant we think this is to the audience that you're trying to target with it. But there's a few ad sets with USAopoly where the relevance score is like a 2. But we have really good, so those are video ads, and we have really good metrics on those. So it's like, well, whatever, Facebook just doesn't like us. But what we'll notice is a lot of times as the relevance score goes up, we're targeting more efficiently. So we're going to see our price go down. And the higher our relevance score is, typically the more Facebook does favor us and we'll show our ad over a competitor in the newsfeed.
Right.
So it's like a win on top of a win.
Huh.
You know how in AdWords, like you know how the auction is run in AdWords, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know about the quality score and the
yes.
the way you win? Can I just kind of speak to it for a minute?
Sure, yeah, of course.
So in AdWords, every time somebody searches for something, there's a real-time, immediate auction. So all these advertisers who want to show up for that word are bidding. But it's not a straight price bid, like at a regular auction. It's a, you win based on your score, and you get your score by multiplying your bid times your quality score.
Right.
So there's like probably 100 things that go in your quality score, but one of the biggest foundations of it is your click-through rate, because that's telling Google that your ad is really relevant, so they like it and they want to show it more. So let's say we have a quality score of 8 and we're bidding $1. And then our competitor over here has a quality score of 3 and they're bidding $2. So we have 8 times 1 get an ad score of 8. And in that same auction, they do 2 times 3, so they get an ad score of 6. So we beat them. We're going to show up higher, and we're going to pay less. So there's an inverse relationship between your quality score and the amount that you pay. So that's why there's huge incentives to getting your quality score up, but that's what takes time and skill. And eventually, hopefully in the near future, you're going to actually be saving money by spending that time, because you're going to be spending so much less on dollars.
How kind of interested are you in trying to go after the Simple House?
Well, I would love to talk to him. What is your take on how valuable is their offer to their audience? Like, are they connected with their audience, or are they just trying to sell something?
I think they're extremely...
They make money and they don't care.
No, I think they're extremely connected with their audience, and I think it's incredibly valuable. I've been in that position where you need to sell your house, and
right.
you can sit there for 9 months and not sell it. So they address that market extremely yep. well, and everybody wins. They take all yep. the pain out of the process of selling it.
Well, I mean, I appreciate what you just answered. So do a lot of their clients, are they families, yeah. or are they, like, yeah. older singles?
So,
or like young professional couples.
I'm not that far along yet to know the answer. I mean, I could guess, but I don't know.
I really enjoy working with clients that provide a solution to a pain. I mean, that's why I like Marriage Helper so much, because people, their marriage is in trouble and they're hurting. And Marriage Helper actually does help them.